This is Across the Streams Media Podcast.
I don't know what you said, but it must have been Indian for Handsome Devil.
That's right. We watched Killers of the Flower Moon this week on The Movie Gap, the podcast that has you scream.
How have you not seen that? How have you not seen that? How have you not seen that? How have you not seen that?
Welcome to The Movie Gap. I am your host, Chase Austin, and as always, the guy who just like cannot wait to break up with a woman as soon as they turn 25 or he poisons them to death because they are not white, but only because he's promised the money from a guy who is much older and at one point is the start of the CIA. That's right, Robert De Niro. Bryce Perkins.
We're off to a great start.
Are we?
Happy to be here? Question mark?
Oh, you are so happy to be here.
Yeah. You know, I am happy to talk about this movie. I'll tell you that much, buddy. What do you say we get right into it? So, opening frame. Actually, I'm still watching the movie, by the way.
It's still on.
I started last week.
I started 6 months ago.
I'm in the theater, and it's still going because it's long.
It's long.
Speaking of that, let me see that long. It's the remix. It's the Scorsese remix of Thong Song. It's called The Long Song, and he makes it 3 hours long.
Three and a half.
It's a 3.5 hour thong. Yeah.
This
which of course is just Mike Tyson saying 3.5 hour song. He says 3.5 hour thong.
This movie makes the Irishman.
He's a 3.5 hour thong.
This may be
Mike Tyson.
This movie makes the Irishman look like the length that Native Americans were allowed to live in America. Short.
Wait, what? I mean, what? Wait, what is that? Wait, I don't even know if I want to unpack that.
Well, the Irishman, it was 3 hours
long. Uh-huh. Well, the Irishman was longer. 4 hours, I thought. Irishman was longer than this.
Was it?
I think so.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of...
Because it was on Netflix and he could, like, do it, you know?
Yeah, but, like... No. The Irishman is I think this is, like, 4 minutes longer than the Irishman.
With credits or something?
I mean, by, like, total minutes...
Really?
I'd have to look it up.
Look it up right now.
Yeah, oh
let's
my
have
God.
Dead air while you look
but
it up.
But like the whole joke was
no,
that
I want complete dead air while you look this up.
Feels long.
Right.
And you know, once white man came and like,
uh-huh.
Oh,
wasn't they, like the Europeans.
Yeah,
the European colonizers.
Not Americans.
Certainly
we,
not.
We do not agree with anything that goes on in this film.
They were not. They were European colonizers.
It wasn't our fault. In fact, some of us are some percentage native. Not a lot.
Who is now? Who?
Some of us.
Some of us. Oh, yeah. Right.
All right. Let's see here. Okay. So we're looking at The Irishman.
It's taken him longer than The Irishman was to look up how long The Irishman is. Am I right,
by the way,
people?
This is going to be our... like shortest episode ever.
Uh-huh.
At 4.5 hours.
Oh yeah, certainly.
All right, so Wolf of Wall Street,
what the fuck?
Well, I want to think that Wolf of Wall Street I know the Wolf of Wall Street was,
we weren't even talking about the Wolf of
Wall
Street.
Yeah, but it was another one of his long ones.
Yeah,
that's what she said. And it was only three hours and 3 minutes.
It's me, Mike Tyson. It's the long thong.
How many bits can we fit into one sentence?
Yeah, when Mike is singing the thong song, he's just saying, let me see that song is what he's saying. How do you tell? You know what when Tyson's getting a lap dance, do you think that there's any confusion with the stripper about if he likes the song or the thong that they're wearing? Do you think there's any confusion there?
I don't know. How would that sound?
Well, I like the thong. And she's like, oh, thanks, you like my underwear? He's like, no, I'm talking about the thong, bitch.
What song does Mike Tyson like that the stripper is dancing to?
Well, that's the thing. It's probably the thong song. So it gets very confusing, very fast.
I bet it's, I'm a bitch. I'm a lover,
shit. You think he's getting lap dances to Natalie Imbruglia?
Well, no.
Is that who that is?
That is not.
Who is
You're
that
You're thinking
then?
Of Torn.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Lying naked on the floor.
Yeah.
Come naked. This is how I feel.
It's another one-hit wonder. But she was in Australia. Natalie Imbruglia won.
No, who's I'm a bitch? Who is
I
know, that?
It's I believe it starts with an A, if I can remember correctly.
I don't think that's right. You know what? I'll look that up while you look this up.
All right.
What's that song called? Bitch.
I think it actually is called Bitch.
All right, here we go.
All right.
Let's see who wins.
This All movie right. is... Searching oh, for three, Oh, shit. How long was Flower Moon? Flower Moon was 320... Oh, fuck.
See, I told you, dude.
I was backwards. It's 329 to 323.
Told you. All right, the song is called Bitch.
I thought so.
And it is by one...
God, this song is so good.
So 90s. Teenage
Wasteland.
Dude, it's the same chords, dude.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It totally is. It's Bob O'Reilly. So you ripped that off. That's why you're a bitch. Just kidding. So anyway, pay Pete Townsend for that, first of all. And her name is Meredith Brooks.
Meredith Brooks. I knew there was an A in there somewhere.
Or... Wannabe Pete Townsend. That's what I call her.
Wannabe Pete Townsend.
Now here in the fields.
This song has nothing to do with the title.
We're bad and it's a bad feeling. CSI.
Yeah, by the fourth CSI, they were like,
Whose songs are left?
I mean, yeah, there's none left.
Yeah.
We've already used both of the Who songs.
CSI Teen Murders.
Then they used Teenage Wasteland. The Gary Sinise CSI.
Was Teenage Wasteland?
Was Teenage Wasteland. Yeah. Or Baba O'Reilly. Yeah.
Oh, right. Baba O'Reilly. Yeah. That's what it was called.
It was Won't Get Fooled Again, and then it's... It was Who Are You? Then it was Won't Get Fooled Again, and then they're like, how many Who songs
I thought Won't Get Fooled Again was the first one. Wait, Won't Get Fooled Again was the CSI Miami, right? Where Caruso does the eyes. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the one that starts with.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't start with that, but that's like the most famous part.
Well, it starts with if you watch that show.
It does. Yeah. That's true.
When he puts on the glasses.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, no, the first one was Who
It
Are
looks
you?
Like this person.
Because the whole idea
was the note,
trying to find out who did the murder.
He sees the killer leaves, exactly, and the killer leaves a note, and he's like, I killed this lady for stealing my chord progression. And then Caruso goes, looks like this victim is a real bitch. You know, and he puts the glasses
on. I'm sorry. I jumped in on that one.
You did. But that's okay. We made it work.
Yeah, I was trying
what
to...
What movie are we talking about?
Killers of the Flower Moon. Yeah, speaking of killers... Mm-hmm. If I was a good host, I would have been like, speaking of killers,
it would have been a nice
we're
segue.
Talking Killers of the Flower Moon. Your favorite director.
Scorsese?
Yeah.
He's white.
That's why he's your favorite? All right, Bryce. Wow.
No, I'm bringing up a reference
to a previous episode. Oh, wait. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's because he's a man. Well, you're more... That's more correct. Favorite. That's more like... Well, white and man is the ultimate combo. I mean, yeah.
Are there any others?
No, I'm the loyal gappers out there will know that I'm referencing a previous episode of ours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We don't have loyal gappers.
Let's just say we do, and it's for them.
All right. So, So Killers of the Flower Moon, it is up for Best Picture of the Year.
Okay.
Right? Let's pretend
nobody asked.
Let's pretend that you just watched it for the first time, as you did.
Am I at Blockbuster?
And now you are at Blockbuster.
Am I reading the back of the Bryce, box?
We have 4 hours to fill. Let me make this long, 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 long.
Nice. I got you on the train, baby.
And go. 1 minute. Back box. Go. It's already started. 58 seconds.
There's a bunch of white people in here. And they aims to take your money. Because there are indigenous peoples living on land that rightfully own land that has a bunch of oil on it. And then there's these white devils out there that just want to take all that land up so they can own all that money. And this is a true story, which makes it pretty fucking sad, actually, about a guy that was a Freemason, right? You saw it in the movie, and or you're going to see it in this movie, seeing as how you're reading the back of the box right now. And there... He makes people marry the women and then have kids with them so that they can have a claim a stake in their land, thus getting the money, but then kills them so that they get the money. And this really happened. And that was the theme.
That was it. There you go.
That's the theme song to the movie.
Theme scored. Theme by John Williams.
Theme by John Williams, of course.
All right, Bryce. So, you obviously had never seen this film before,
but yeah, neither had you.
Yeah, well,
this is a brand new one.
Yeah, so it's a brand spanking new from 6 months ago. But we finally watched it. Like, long story short, which isn't this
not something Scorsese can do.
You know, we had seen it before we recorded this week. Uh-huh. Like, we saw it. You know, you saw it in theaters, correct?
I did.
With Ed Nelius?
Yes, yes. Everyone's favorite
second favorite British guest.
Oh, right. Second favorite now. He's been usurped.
Yeah, he's been usurped.
And why don't we go ahead and plug that podcast?
Yeah, Martin with the Film vs. Film podcast.
Yeah, Film vs. Film, of course.
Yeah, of course, he's everybody's favorite British person because he still lives there.
And he's still, Ed so it actually a, counts.
He's an ex-expat.
Yeah.
And an expat is somebody who is from America that goes over there. Uh-huh. Or somewhere else. But
so well, he was born there and came over here, so he's an English expat.
Yeah, but no, you wouldn't be a patriot if you're over in the You have to be from New England to be a patriot.
No, you have to play
I've heard of football.
You have to play for New England to be a patriot. You have to play for them.
Yeah, the whole state of New England.
The whole state. It's the one whole state. Yeah.
The New England Patriots.
New England?
The New England.
Yeah.
The New England Patriots.
Right. Tom Brady.
Anyway, all right. So, but yes, right. You went and saw this with Ed in theaters.
Yes.
Now, is this one that you saw on actual film, or was it just like a regular showing where everything's digital now?
Did they do a 70 millimeter thing or something?
Well, it wouldn't be 70. It would have been 35, but
I don't know. I saw it at the movie theater. I just watched whatever they put on the screen.
There you go.
And, yeah. You know?
I finally did see it, because I wasn't able to make it out to the actual cinema.
Loser!
As we say in England.
Uh-huh.
Or the UK. Those tea-drinking assholes. Where... I finally did see it at home. But it was a while ago, so we had to rewatch it a little bit just to be able to talk about it. Because we kept pushing it off because we're like, well, we got to wait until Oscar season.
Right.
Yeah, which it's Oscar season, man.
We're deep into it.
It's 4 days away.
Everyone's getting the Oscar bump right now. Except for us, it's hard to get a bump when you already have 8 billion streams a week. Right? So
we're bigger than the Oscars. We've already had the Gappies.
I mean, they were a smash hit.
We have thrown our hat in the ring, like, you know, the Golden Globes, which, you know, everybody hates, to the point where they got canceled and then bought by somebody else and restarted. But they were always the start of award season.
The Globes got canceled, really?
Yeah, this was a few years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. For being too white.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Wait, like actually canceled? Like they didn't put it on anymore?
Yeah, they were like, nobody wants to see this. Nobody's doing it. And they took a year off. And then it got bought by...
Netflix or something?
No, something else. Yeah, but anyway, they're back.
Yeah.
They're back. And they came back this year.
Yeah, right.
And but we trumped them by having our...
Yeah.
Awards Gappies. Before.
Our first ever Gappies.
Now...
And some people said not white enough.
I will say that most of our awards were for movies that were from 45 years ago, so maybe we're behind.
We might be, but we have a lot of catching up to do.
We're, you know,
yeah,
we can only do better, Bryce.
Right.
We can only do better.
Yep.
So, like, next year, maybe... maybe we know the names of the females that you're nominating.
Hey, there were some guys that I didn't know the names too. Okay.
You know what? Fair is fair.
You
fair
know, is fair. Fair is fair.
Fair is fair.
Yep.
You don't care about any of this.
Oh, wow. I just found a great feature on my soundboard. Anyway, what did you call the what did you call the English people again?
Tea drinking assholes? I don't know.
Man, sounds like you.
Got him. Just wanted to do
that. I only drink iced tea, and that's because in America, once you throw your tea in that harbor, it gets cold, and that's the only way we drink it.
There
these
you
colors
go.
Don't
harbor
run.
Style. That's the only way we drink our tea, harbor style. You harbor, need harbor style. Tea?
Harbor tea.
There we go. Okay, so the thing is that we have a new segment before we get into it here.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I'm going to need you to introduce that.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, we have a brand new segment. I'm very, very proud to present this. I feel bad if I introduce it that much. I'm going to build it up.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm going to let you actually introduce it because you are so excited about it. You came up with it.
Okay.
So I'm going to have you introduce this new segment.
This.
The most. But I will say, guys and girls and Brits, hold on to your seats.
This is going to require some music. It's for
well,
the, for
I
the
wish
title
that you
card.
Had that.
I have it. I have
before.
It. I have it. I have it. I have it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Movie Gab's brand new segment called What's the Porn Title? So sit back, relax, strap in, and get ready to hear the porn title of this week's movie. Okay, and it is...
What is the porn title?
It is... the one that I rented anyway was called Fillers of the Showered Poon. Okay, thank you very much. That's been this week's. This week. What? What are you doing? What is this? Hold on. Hold on. Wait a second. No, fuck you. Fuck you. This week's porn title. All right. How about that, huh?
I love it.
You like
it.
That?
What was that?
Was Fillers of the Showered Poon. You
yeah,
get
yeah, yeah,
it? Do you
yeah,
get
yeah,
it?
But what, okay. What, since this is new, what was last week's?
What did we do last week?
Galaxy Quest.
No.
Oh, no, that was
no.
2 weeks ago. Last week was Oppenheimer, right?
No, last week was The Fountain.
The Fountain.
Yeah.
The Golden Fountain.
It could be that, or it could be the Poundin. The Pound Town. I don't know. It could be something like that. I'll work on it.
Yeah. What
I'll
about?
Find one.
Hold on. I'm pulling it up.
Uh-huh.
Because I'd rather talk about this.
I know Galaxy Quest's porn title.
Galaxy Quest?
That's not bad. But I think it takes a close second to the one that I found called Fallacy Breasts.
It's fallacy breast. So, what is this porn about?
It's about chicks with dicks for tits.
which keeps us in space.
Of course, they're aliens. What do you expect?
Wouldn't that be phallic-y breasts?
Phallus-y breasts. Man, those are some fallacy breasts, man. Right. Oh, man. So it's a sci-fi. You know? What do you want?
I don't know.
What do you want from me?
Let's see here.
Wait, what are you looking up again?
I'm looking for things that I can make porn titles of that we've done.
Well, I don't know. I mean, well...
Seepless in your anus?
Is that... No, it doesn't count if you're looking them up online.
No, I'm looking
at... Oh, you're looking up the titles. Oh, did you say seepuss in your anus?
Seepuss in your anus.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that one. In your anus?
Zo's de ass.
Zodiac.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's not working too well for
all
me
right,
either.
All right. Dirty Dancing.
Now that sounds like a nice porn.
All right.
And was a good porn, by the way.
Pet Cemetery.
Yes, of course. Wet Cemetery.
Children of the Cornhole.
Okay, Children of the Porn, but that's not good. We can't have that.
Nope.
No, that's not good.
Carrie's ass.
Carrie's ass. There we go. Okay, one more and then we gotta move on. It's only supposed to be one a week.
J fuck K.
Or JF gay.
Oh!
It could be a gay porn. It can be gay porn
there
too.
We go.
Not everyone is racist like you, Chase, okay? Well, it can be gay porn.
J-fuck-K does not mean it's gay.
J-fuck-K, no, that works too, though. That does actually work.
And Children of the Cornhole, really well. Like, that could be gay.
That does work well. Yeah.
I mean, a cornhole is a butthole, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But, right? I mean, yeah, you still so got... Like, it's problematic because you got the children part in there. That's a tough one to do.
But everybody's a child of somebody. I didn't say that they were literally underage.
No, that's true.
Yeah,
we are still children of our parents. This is true.
I'm children of my mother's front cornhole.
Front cornhole. Welcome to the Stern Show. So, I'm Howard Stern. And,
so anyway, let's talk about this film.
Yeah, Killers of the Flower Moon. Right? That's what we're doing, yeah. Right?
So I don't know if you know this, Bryce, but...
not a variety of flower!
There we go.
The white man...
which can't jump
has famously not been very good to the people who were on this land before they came around.
True.
Just real pivot right here. Let's go just, right into it.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So are we ready to get into it? Is there a segment we do before we get into it? No, we just did it.
Well, yeah, we did it. And then you...
And then I what?
One. Yeah.
I what? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, you went off the rails there a little bit, bud. You went way off the rails. And you know who got off the rails and into the town was Leonardo DiCaprio's character in this movie at the beginning of the movie when he showed
up. Oppenheimer.
No, that doesn't work.
Yeah, it does.
No.
Yeah,
no,
it's
no,
poop. No. Poop is where the you got a butthole and like poop comes out of it. And like some people like to like poop when they have sex. Like it's a thing. It's
okay,
a thing.
Okay, I need to remember.
It's a thing. Don't shame.
I need to remember to cut out you going, yeah, it's poop. You need that as a drop. I need that as a drop.
Classic moment.
So anyway.
Bryce.
What?
Bryce.
What?
You know what else is a drop? The poop.
No, okay. Oh, man. What are we doing here? What have we come to? Where have we come to?
Is this some kind of joke?
Yes, it is.
Shut up!
What?
Enough of this ridiculous babble.
All right. So, yeah. Off the rails. steps,
which is what Leo DiCaprio into the town in Oklahoma. And then, you know, and then there's a whole 3-hour movie.
Yeah, about just like terrible okay, things
let's
done
do,
to a people who don't deserve it.
Let's earnestly, see what I did there? That's his name in the movie. Mm-hmm. Let's earnestly do our best here. Let's do our best in earnest. See what I did there?
Yeah.
To discuss this movie.
All right.
Because I think it's not going to be much better than what we've done so far.
No, not really.
I am laughed out already, and my energy is at a zero. So that is going to give anybody any hope for how the rest of this episode is going to go.
I mean, you know, this is a rough ass movie. Like it is tough to watch.
Okay, but can we talk about how great it is? Though?
It's it's phenomenal.
I loved it.
It is phenomenal. I'm gonna go ahead and say it is phenomenal. And like when I say that I will never watch this movie again, I mean it. But not because it wasn't good, but because it's very long and it is a tough watch.
Yeah.
I think Scorsese did a fantastic job directing it. Leo, you know, he's really pushing it and going.
I think he does a great job in this movie. What do you think?
He does a phenomenal job.
Did he not? He did not get nominated for anything.
He doesn't need it. Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't need it, but. You know, if there was ever a year in which he actually earned it.
Well, I'll tell you, fucking Ken did not deserve it.
Danny, I mean, I'm saying, what is this?
Go fuck off.
Yeah, what is that?
I think that Jesse Plemons is better than Ryan Gosling. I think that Leo DiCaprio did better than Ryan Gosling. Although Jesse Plemons wouldn't be a lead role. De Niro is a better lead role.
Yeah.
Wait, did he get nominated?
For supporting, certainly, right?
For supporting?
Right?
Maybe. Yeah, that feels a little category fraud, but you
it
might
should
be able to.
Because who is the lead character in this movie? Isn't it Lily Gladstone?
Well, yeah, she got nominated for Best
Actress. Lead. Yeah.
And fucking rightfully so.
Oh, I agree. She's great, right?
She's phenomenal.
She's amazing.
Phenomenal.
I mean, she's toe for toe with Leo in there, and like most of her scenes are with Leo, and like and how like, intimidating must that have been, I wonder, for I mean just because she doesn't have like as much experience, right? I mean, I guess. I don't know. I really don't know. Does she have as much experience?
Well, not on film.
Sure,
I mean,
right.
Like,
well, I mean, it's fucking it's Leonardo DiCaprio, right? It's
it's also fucking Robert
and Robert fucking De Niro, yeah, you know? Right. And then you're being directed by Scorsese, so like how like
and then behind
exciting
that you got, like,
but
Jesse
scary
Plemons
that must be
John fucking Lithgow, Brendan Fraser. I mean,
oh,
like
yeah,
this,
Lithgow
this
was
fucking
in this.
This movie is like the new JFK.
It really kind of was like how it was just it kind of felt like anybody who was anybody wanted a piece of that action, you know?
Yeah.
Much like the whites wanting a piece of the land that the indigenous people owned, and then look how that worked out. Not good. So,
you know, obviously it cast a lot of people of native descent as well that we've never seen before because there just hasn't been
right.
as many roles.
Which, I mean, that was great. And then,
I mean, a lot of
they
them,
were great,
I have seen,
weren't they?
Like, some of them were in Yellowstone. A couple of them were from Res Dogs. Have you seen that?
I haven't, but I've heard good things.
It's good. It's very good.
My little sister is like that's one of her favorite shows.
It's real funny.
Who is that?
It's
who
also
is that?
Real,
isn't it?
Taika Waititi like produced.
That's right.
It, or EP
right,
did. Yeah.
Sure.
But it's you know it's all made by. He didn't like direct it or write it or anything like that. But
he
got it. He allowed it.
He's getting
he helped
it.
To get it made. He didn't make it made. But yeah.
Sure. He's attached. We'll
he's
just
attached.
Say that. He's
attached.
As
they say, yeah.
Right. Did you ever watch that? Let's not get off subject.
let's try to stay on.
Well, so, but yeah. Well, speaking of the people being cast, you know, all the Native Americans being cast, that was great, and they were great, and they really like did such a great job of setting the tone, and then like helping you feel how fucked up what is happening in this movie was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
because it could have turned into sort of a whitewashed thing pretty easily, I feel like, where maybe, you know, it doesn't get portrayed as like, you know, as absolutely horrible and evil it actually was, but you know, Scorsese does a real good job of avoiding that, and man, the actors, the cast, they do such a good job of just like helping set that scene and that mood, and really kind of just putting you, it's one of those that just transports you into the time, right? You know, yeah. It does a really good job of doing that.
Well, and you know, something interesting, so like when Scorsese approached DiCaprio for the role in this film, he was actually it was a different script at the time. Mm-hmm. And he was actually going for like the Jesse Plemons role, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And
wait, who was
DiCaprio?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and DiCaprio was like, you know, I actually want to play the bad guy. I want to play what's his name?
Ernest.
Yeah. Ernest, not P. Worrell.
Yeah.
Who is a saint.
Yeah.
But he was like, I want to play that. And so they were, Scorsese was like, you know what? Let me take a step back. Let's rewrite it. Let's make that part bigger. Let's talk about that shit.
Right.
And like, that's why DiCaprio wanted to play that part.
Uh-huh.
Was to like get really into not the investigation of it, but like what actually happened and the people who were doing it.
Yeah.
And like, you know, show how bad they were and all this kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So they took a step back, and while things were being, you know, talked about and figured out and rewritten and everything like that, Scorsese goes off and does The Irishman and then comes back to this.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right, because they found this is actually based off of an old spec script that they found after Jim Varney passed away, called Ernest Goes to Oklahoma. That luckily did not get made, because his version was going to be way different.
It was called Ernest Goes West.
Yeah.
It was a tie-in with Fievel Goes West.
Sure, yeah, right, yeah. Right. And it took a dark turn in that one.
It was Ernest and a little mouse.
Yeah.
A little Jewish mouse who just go and kill a bunch of natives.
Yeah, yeah. It's very dark. And thank God that Scorsese fixed it, okay?
Yeah.
Thank God it fell into the hands of Scorsese. You know, what would we do without it? But anyway, jokes aside, how about those teeth, you know? How about Ernest's teeth? Well, okay.
It did take a while to, like, something felt off at first.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the teeth felt off.
Yeah.
But, like, it took a minute or two, or maybe, like, 25 minutes or two to be like, does he just, like, have his tongue in his lip? Like, what is this choice that he's making?
Right. Is he doing, like, a Brando thing here? Yeah, what's going on?
Which, I mean, I guess, in a way, he is, you know. But, it did take a minute or two to be like, okay, is this good or is this over the top?
Right. It was at first.
Right?
But then it settles in nicely, and then it just works, dude. And I got to say, dude, and, like, loyal gappers will understand, I've had quite the journey with Leo. You know, I've gone from being like, you know, I think he's a little overrated, to these past few ones I've seen him in, mainly being Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and then this one I'm talking about. I know he's done stuff in between there, right?
Yeah.
But these two in particular, I think he's just done an outstanding job of actually becoming a character and not relying so much on his Leoisms, although they're still there a little bit, you know, it's a little bit, but overall, I feel it really felt like he was just this like dumbass that was just bad, like a bad person that was also dumb. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And he really felt that way, and like, you know, he had the way he talked was consistent, and I don't know, it just worked. And you know, maybe it is the teeth, I don't know, but it just really worked. It worked for me. I thought he did great, and I feel like he deserved to be nominated, you know, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's also won his Oscar now.
Sure. Plus, he's going to be all right. It's fucking Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, he's also never really...
Also, cared. Oscars are pointless and dumb anyway, you know.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's an award show. It's all about,
it's just
like,
patting them. It's just jerk-off session, but... Mm-hmm. But yeah.
That being said,
if it is within the debate of it, yeah. I would say he deserved a nom. You know.
Yeah. So what about anybody else in this?
De Niro was amazing. So good at playing that subtlety of evil. That was like the most evil at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Did a really good job of just letting it show whenever it needed it, but then doing the friendly, you know, I'm the friendly white guy thing over the rest of it. De Niro, I thought it was a great performance. His accent was a little hit or miss, but that I was kind of like not. I mean, look, he's almost 80, right? So I was not expecting him to like be very consistent with the accent.
He might be over 80 at this point.
You know, so I was willing to let that slide. Mm-hmm. That didn't bother me so much, you know. I thought he was a great like overall bad guy, like ultimate bad guy. I thought he did amazing, and then like to be able to do that well at his age is pretty incredible too, you know.
I mean, and then you got, you know, like Brendan Fraser coming in.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Like, Brendan Fraser. Like so much, especially at the end, like where you're like, all right, this movie needs to be wrapping it up.
Yeah.
Like I'm ready. Like I have been physically or like in my eyes abused by all of this. Like, let's kill these people now, like the white people, and like let's be done with this. Like, how much more suffering do we have to go through?
Right.
And then like in that last like 45 minutes, you know, it's just like cameo.
Right.
Of just like these great actors, John Lithgow, which we mentioned before.
While everything is coming to a head, you know.
Yeah.
Which is nice. I mean, which is good. How about that? The soundtrack I thought was great and was done by Robbie Robertson of the band just before he died, I believe.
Okay.
Which is like pretty big for Scorsese fans because they know how much. I mean, he did that Last Waltz documentary, concert documentary, which is great if you haven't seen it.
I have not seen it.
It is great, and they're a great band. I mean, they're the band. You know, what do you want? And so that was really cool. I didn't realize that like while I was watching it until after the fact, and I knew that Robbie Robertson had just died before this came out even, and so finding out about that after the fact was really cool. Soundtrack did a great job of capturing things along with like the actual use of like old native songs and everything.
Yeah.
was just perfectly done, so tastefully done. Once again, just puts you in there and puts you in their perspective and puts you in the setting so that you're really invested in and feeling it, you know, as it's going on. The clothing of the natives, the tapestry of like what they wore and everything, their colors and everything, against the bleak like brown and beige white man's world. Mm-hmm. Of like their buildings on a dirt road, and you know, that was a great, like the color palette of this movie was just so for being an old movie was not dishwater. I thought it looked great.
Exactly. Yeah. It's well shot, well, like the color choices, the mise-en-scène, like, I mean, you know, Scorsese knows what he's doing as well as the people he hires for as a DP and everything.
And you know what?
It just looks gorgeous.
Yeah. And you know, there's a
in a sad way. Yeah.
But, oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Which I think was probably deliberate.
No, it was an accident.
Okay.
Yeah. Scorsese says he was like, yeah, I just kind of like jacked off.
Yeah. He was like,
came out good.
I made it up.
Yeah.
He's like, I made this.
I just like turned the camera on for 3 hours and I was like, yep. Hollywood.
No. Okay, fine. Whatever. But there's a the thing though is that I never really thought about the fact that the color choices is something that the really good directors actually pay attention to, the palette of the overall shot, and that's actually a part of the mise-en-scène, isn't it?
It's
the color palette of what
100%.
Of what you're seeing.
Yeah.
And this is what you mean by dishwater and stuff like that, where it, you know, when that's not paid attention to, it's all just a fucking mess of like what am I looking at here? Yeah, it's not aesthetically pleasing.
Especially
at all.
When you, so like you know with mise en scène versus like or composition, which is part of like what is all of the elements of mise en scène put together as composition, and then you add in your cinematography, which is. Part of mise-en-scene is the lighting and the color, but also that's part of what the cinematographer does as well. Being able to light and make it look like a thing.
Yeah.
But putting all those things together along with the camera movement is something like you need to be able to see what you're looking at.
Yeah.
Right? Like if you think about every frame, every single little picture that we're seeing, because it's a bunch of single moving or single pictures put together,
yeah,
and then it gives us
that
illusion of
the illusion
moving
of movement.
Pictures,
right.
Every one of those frames is information,
which
every
that time, was done on accident, by the way.
Yeah. It was. So, but like, if you have that, the, like the way the camera moves, all of those things, like you need to have that information, like the information that the audience needs. When it becomes that dishwater is when it's like, I'm getting no information out of this.
Right.
All I'm
right,
getting
right.
is shit's moving.
Overload.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's
which just
dishwater.
Turns into wash. Yeah. Yeah. There's a great, Instagram page out there where like they'll take a shot from a scene of something. And I've seen them do it with Seinfeld before. They'll take just a still of a scene.
Yeah.
And then underneath it, it just has the color palette. Like it's like, like a color swath at Home Depot or something, but just of all the different colors you see. And like that opened my eyes to like, that's deliberate too. Like I didn't even think about how, I mean, of course it is, but I never think about that cause I don't care about movies, you know? So
yeah,
what do you know? But, yeah, that I love. And I think that was done very successfully in this movie. Oh dude, especially like, that scene where the grandma dies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
her getting taken by her ancestors and then the perfect cut in between like reality and then like her crossing over and the way it's like perfectly, but the colors are it's masterful.
Yeah,
that's like one of the best things I've seen Scorsese do, and this is his most recent movie. That's insane. He's like doing it at 85 or whatever. It's incredible, you know. So yeah, I don't know, anything you want to add to that, Chase?
I mean, no, you kind of are you
love
know
that.
The student is becoming the teacher over here.
Yeah,
you know, like for someone who hates movies and like is now like learning those little masterful little things and like recognizing them and being able to comment on them. I love it.
This was the point of the podcast, you know.
It kind of was.
Here we are.
So this is the end of the podcast. This is the last episode.
This is the
ever.
Last episode.
Killers fillers of the flower poon.
No, fillers of the showered poon.
Fillers of the showered poon. That's right.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's got to be washed.
Not Poopenheimer.
I masturbate a lot.
It's poop. That's you. That's you.
It's poop.
It got me so hard.
Oh, man. Might as well just, like, how did Christopher Nolan get this footage of me juicing? So, anyway, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else to really say. I mean, I definitely wanted to talk about that scene of the you know, the matriarchal figure pass, like crossing over.
Yeah.
That was just so beautiful. I think it might be like my favorite scene I've ever seen Scorsese shoot.
Well, and
I really think it
like,
might be.
It everything like hits just right in that scene.
yeah and you know what, as far as like it being long, I really didn't feel that way watching it in the theater.
Well, yeah, no,
I thought for sure I was gonna have like a pee break moment.
Yeah,
but I didn't even have a single pee break moment.
Well, and like what's weird about it is that it gets slow.
It does.
It doesn't get slow, the whole fucking movie's slow.
Right,
slow
right,
as
right.
hell. Like it
right.
really feels like as somebody who watched it at home, it felt like I was watching like one episode of a TV show, which is what a film kind of is in a way. Like, I mean, especially these days where TV and film are becoming more and more the same thing. But like when you break a TV show up into the chunks that are the episodes, you know, you're still telling stories in little parts, right? Where this did feel like one giant part.
Yeah.
And it did feel slow, like I was watching an entire season of a TV show.
Right.
But not in a way of like, how much longer is this fucking episode?
Yeah, no.
It's, like, you're into it the whole time. It's gorgeous.
Yeah. I mean, it's great storytelling. I mean, it's told in a way that, like,
it's also keeps you shot better than most TV shows.
Oh, man, still. For sure.
Obviously, it's Scorsese.
For sure. Yeah. And then it's just so well acted, too. I mean, there's... I mean, it's just so well acted. I came out of it, I went in really kind of expecting to be like, you know, given that like Scorsese is old and stuff, and then it's Leo, so I didn't know. I saw the, you know, footage of him with the teeth, and I was like, oh boy, is this going to be one of those Leos? And I went in kind of expecting maybe to be kind of meh on it, and I came out just going like, what a, like, it's one of his best ones, yeah, dude. It's one of Scorsese's Rodrigo best Pichiro, movies.
By the way, is the name of the cinematographer.
Okay, for this movie?
Yeah.
And what is the responsibility of the cinematographer exactly? Or,
well, they're the one who kind of
specifically.
So, all right, obviously the,
because that's what I've never understood.
Yeah, so the director is the one who says like this is how it works, but right, the director is the top, right?
Yeah.
So they are the one who's like, this is my creative vision. I've taken the script. I'm talking to the actors. But I'm in charge of, hey, I've hired these people to be my costumers. I've hired these people to do this. They all come to the director to be like, is this approved? Is this not approved? Right.
And I've hired them to facilitate my vision for what this movie should look like.
So when you hire a cinematographer, the cinematographer is the one who is in charge of, it's also known as the director of photography, right? So
the,
they're
the DP.
They're not necessarily the one who's the always pen. Moving the camera, but they're the one who is setting the lights. They know the lenses. They know all this other stuff.
They're the ones doing all the real work.
Yeah. So when you look at them,
right,
or when you look to hire them, you're hiring the person that you want your film to look like. So like, remember when you called out that scene in Star Wars, where it was
Come on, Chaz.
Darth Vader like knocking off all the lightsabers, or whatever, and you're like, this looks exactly like that other scene from this other.
Yeah, it turned out
to be the same guy.
Right?
So it, you know,
directors
and cinematographers work together.
What was I comparing that to? Damn,
already
forgetting. Loyal gappers will know. Email us. Go to crossstreamsmedia.com. And send us a voicemail.
But, you know, like, that's why a lot of directors also work with the same cinematographer if they have the same, idea of how something looks. Now, a cinematographer's, like, the way that they work tends to be less exactly the same every time as much as the director's, right? So when you, like, work with an auteur director, it's like, oh, my movies are going to look like this.
Uh-huh.
Right, so I'm gonna hire cinematographers that will work with me, but like that same cinematographer can work with many different people, and they have a whole plethora of things, right?
It's just
like they're able to adjust their way of art, right? Because they're in control of it, but they're not the one who gets to decide that's what it looks like.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
The director does. Yeah. At the end
but
of the
they
day.
Know, they know
so the they, lenses, they set all they this shit that. Up and everything, and if the director goes, okay, well, this doesn't look quite right, can you make it this adjustment?
Like,
this
adjustment. So also, and then they do that ultimately too. You know, I would like to do like a low pan. What?
There you go.
A low
call
pan.
That.
Yeah.
Yep.
To, you know, this or whatever, you know, like just doing the different things, and the cinematographer's like, got it, boss.
Gotcha.
Right?
Gotcha.
And we already
know. So the director is still the one that is like composing the scene, essentially.
Yeah, they are
and
the
then
one
they
in
also
of
make
the
decisions on
the
where it's going to be shot from.
Yeah, the cinematography has to do with it. Now, it depends on how well you work with your cinematographer,
or
how much you're
on how successful
to be like,
that's going
to
be.
Yeah, you know, like a Kevin Smith. Right, who is famously like, I don't really know anything about lenses or anything. Like, I'll hire a cinematographer who I'm just like, can you get like a close up that looks good here with these colors while I just shoot a twofer? And they're Yeah. Sometimes they can do it really well.
Uh-huh.
And it's just what he wants. Other times they'll do something a little more artistic to it.
Sure.
Where he's like, wow, I wish I was doing stuff that well. Right.
Right. Right.
Now, a Scorsese, he works, you know, well, like he's.
Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. And he knows who he's hiring.
So,
as well.
You know, actually, just to get on that Kevin Smith thing, you know, he famously has called out Bruce Willis for being a dick. Right.
Yeah. He's also like.
But then at the same time, it's like, whose side are we really on here? Because you're also the same guy that doesn't give a fuck about what you're shooting.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he's a fucking. Well, he's a professional actor that's been doing this for fucking 40 years.
And if you listen to him calling Bruce Willis out for being a dick, uh-huh. it's also like. He's a dick because he's like, you don't know anything that you're
doing. Yeah, exactly. Because the only reason he's being
but
a...
But you don't.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and it's like, because he doesn't have a respect for you because he sounds like he shouldn't because you don't care about your craft.
Yeah, in the same way.
As far as being the director is concerned.
Yeah, it's more...
He loves writing, I get that.
He has definitely gone back on a lot of that. As Kevin Smith does, because he's like kind of a little bitch.
He's a little dickhead.
He also does love film in a way that is like beyond loving film. So, but he was just on Blank Check talking about the first Die Hard, and you know, talking about working with Bruce Willis, and like it was all just like
recently he was just on
like last week.
Oh shit! Okay,
week before last, he's just like gushing.
Over Bruce.
Yeah. And how he's like, and then when I finally get to work with him, you know, it was rough, but like, thank God I got to work with him. It just also happened to be on Cop Out, which was a giant piece of garbage. Shit.
Yeah.
Although he did work with him before, but not when he was directing.
Right.
In Die Hard. What was that? It was the fourth one. Live Free or Die Hard?
Live Free. Kevin Smith was in that?
Yeah, he was the... We watched it on the
podcast. I know, but I don't remember Kevin Smith. Although it was like
3 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was one of the
underground... Yeah.
The code guys. That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, look, that's still my second favorite one of all those. Anyway, we're not talking about Die Hard.
But
we're
talking
about Killers of the Flower Moon.
So, hold on. I wanted to look up and see what else...
Big Pietro dong boinks. Big dong boinks. Big dong boinks.
By the way, nominated for Best Cinematography this year as well for this film.
Flower Moon.
Yeah. Okay.
Got a terrific penis.
Oddly enough, worked with Scorsese before on Wolf of Wall Street. He was also the DP on fucking Barbie.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, the guy that's the DP on Flower Moon?
Yeah, I didn't know that. He was Irishman. Yeah, oh yeah. Oh wow, yeah. A lot of he's done a lot of good stuff. Which honestly,
what's the matter with you?
The cinematography and like the colors and like
that's not gonna fly here.
The way Barbie looks is the best thing about Barbie. Oh wow, he did Julie Taymor's Midsummer Night. Fuck. That was really cool. I just watched that the other day. Julie Taymor is a stage director. She's the one who
directed, I've heard of Julie Taymor.
Yeah, she did
okay. I haven't.
Yeah. Well, she
no, I have. I
famously did Lion King, but she also directed the movie version of The Producers. But her Midsummer Night's Dream is like this really weird film and or a really weird like stage version, and he was the cinematographer on like filming the actual stage version of that, which is really dope. Argo. Bryce,
what?
We haven't done this movie, but we have to at some point.
What?
Well, I'm just gonna tell you, I don't want to give any spoilers, but it's a little guy named Damon,
Matt Damon,
and a little chickadee who happens to be in the place that he is buying, and she is a keeper of animals. Her name is Scarlett Johansson, and Matt Damon comes in and is like, I'm going to buy this place. Now, what is this place? It's a zoo. We bought a zoo.
Oh, what is it? Yeah, what are we talking about now?
We're
What's going
about
on?
We bought a zoo, but he was the DP on that.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. I don't know what.
It's a great movie.
Okay.
Babel, which looked good. Ooh, Brokeback Mountain. Yeah, man, this guy has been around. And then, basically before that, it was all... Frida. I saw that. Eight Mile. 8 Mile! He was this... Cinematographer.
Really?
8 Mile.
Wait, what's this guy's name?
It's Rodrigo Prieto. God. Prieto. Hey, I'm not trying to kill any flower moons over here, all right? Like, I understand I'm a very, very white person.
Oh, man. Who knew? Know, just by asking you what his name was. That
well, and I've already said it. I said it like three times and I thought I was right. And then, you know, you asked me again and I freeze up.
That was funny.
Prieto. Prieto. How do you say that? Prieto.
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 Prieto. Prieto.
He's Mexican. I know that. Oh, and I don't, yeah, like, I'm not just saying, like, oh, that sounds like he is a Mexican cinematographer.
Thank you for like, clarifying. Like, from actual Mexico.
I'm not just saying Latino and saying Mexican head. But, like, all of his other films, like, before, like, that were actual Mexican cinema films.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, what a, like, that's exactly who you want to work on your films, is someone who gets it. Right.
And then absolutely.
Also, I mean, you know, then you never know who's going to work well with each other. But, you know, if you hire the right person and you shoot it right and work with them right, like you get something beautiful. But I hope that helped to tell you what a cinematographer does.
I stopped listening as soon as you started talking. So anyway, no, just kidding. Yes, it did. It does, actually. It does a lot.
I'm joking. Not really.
What's the matter with you?
No, yeah, I'm kidding, of course. Yeah, that does explain it. Yeah, yeah, so like, why not, I mean, you know all that stuff. Why don't you go and be a cinematographer somewhere, you know? Why don't you go join a studio or something? How do you become do you have to join a studio to do that? Do you have to do a studio contract or something to become a cinematographer?
No, I mean, you know, you get into the guild and... But you start out like filming, and I've done some, but like I've never worked with, although nobody works with actual film cameras anymore. But you know, you got to know what you're doing, and I know what I'm doing a little bit, but not like that.
You know.
Also, I need the money now.
Yeah,
I need like a consistent flow of income. I need insurance.
Yeah,
and it's like, yeah, I tried doing the acting and doing the filmmaking and doing all of that stuff and like getting out there when I was younger. Now I'm an old fucking fart. Yeah. So I'm gonna have a real job, which may or may not be with the government.
Right.
Which may or may not be.
That's what
how I got into the government.
Uh-huh.
Argo, fuck yourself.
Okay.
And. Which, by the way, have you seen Argo?
If
you
haven't.
We really should do that one.
I mean, you know, it won Best Picture, right?
Guess who the cinematographer of that was?
Prieto?
It was!
Yeah.
Also, I love that movie. I know that a lot of people shit on it. I would love to go back and rewatch it, but there's some shot. Like, the thing about that movie that I love so much is how well it's shot. Plus, I love inside baseball movies on film like that.
That's what Argo is?
Well.
Oh, okay.
It's inside of what may or may not be my
baseball
career.
Oh, I see.
The government. And also film.
It's both. Right, 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 right.
Directed by Big Dick Affleck.
Right.
That's where he got his second Oscar.
Bat Dick.
Mm-hmm.
The Bat
Gone cock. Girl? Wait, what's the wait, play the porn title thing again.
The what?
The porn title, the new one. The new
the music?
Yeah.
The music for it? Oh, are we going back to the segment?
Yeah, we're going back to the segment.
Okay. Here we go. What? Wait, oh shit. Hold on, wait. Still learning this soundboard. There we go. Okay, ready? Welcome to The Movie Gap. New segment. What is the porn title? Take it away, Chase. Go for it.
Dong Girl.
That That was The Movie Gaps. What is the porn title? Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week. Give me another one. Welcome to The Movie Gaps. What is the porn title? Take it away for us, Big Chaz.
Nappy, Rolly, and Poop. Anatomy of a Ball.
I want to need that one more time. I don't think anyone understood what the fuck you just said.
Nappy, Rolly, and Poop. Like Napoleon. And then Anatomy of a Ball. Like Anatomy of a Fall.
We didn't do that movie.
No, we didn't. We haven't done either of them, but like there's
still do movies that we've covered. This has been this. What is that porn title? On the Movie Gap, we'll see you next week. All right, good stuff. Good stuff. Worth it. Worth it.
What was it from 30 Rock? Presh Ass, based on the movie or the book Push or Tush by Ass Fire.
I'd have to go back and rewatch that. Yeah. I don't remember that.
Well, you know, Precious, based on the movie.
Oh, Precious. Precious. Yeah, that's right.
It was Precious, based on the movie Push by Sapphire.
Yeah.
Precious, based on the movie Tush, or the book Tush by Ass Fire.
Oh, that's okay. That's classic. I love me some 30 Rock.
Happy Rolly and Poop.
Yeah, that, I don't know what that is. That just doesn't even, but I'm glad you like it. I'm glad you're happy with it. That doesn't,
I've never seen it.
So I'm even more normal than, you know, normal
people. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah. Not that there's, yeah, of course. Not that there's anything wrong with it. There's got to be, well, next week. Next week.
He was looking at me like that in the bathroom.
All right. So, any last thoughts?
Thank you, Ringo.
This film.
What?
Anything last? Any last thoughts on this film?
Nope. That's it. That's all I had, baby.
Fillers of the Showered Poon. You think that's better than Dong Girl?
Yes, but I appreciated. I appreciated the presentation of Dong Girl. I appreciated how that whole thing went. You know, now Nappy and Roland and Poop, I don't know what is going on there. That you're gonna have to talk to your therapist about.
I gotta tell you, I'm going to see him on Tuesday, and I'm gonna be like, guess what I did? Get this joke.
Yeah.
And they're gonna be like, I need to see you twice a week instead of once every 2 weeks.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting conversation.
And then she'll say. She'll say, because I need this gold. She's also writing a book over why this man must die.
Is that right? Yeah.
I think so.
I could see that. I can see that. All right. What's the next what's the next segment here?
All right, let's wrap it up with a rating.
Oh yeah, we need a rating.
We need a rating, and then we'll get into those.
Well, you should give your rating too, because you hadn't seen it.
Oh yeah, I will. I will. But while I'm thinking of my rating, I'm going to let you go first, so that I can remember that I forgot to pull up the box office numbers.
Okay, good. Well, in that case,
when did this one come out? That's what she said.
Out of talking about her kid. Couldn't remember his birthday. Out of 10, what we do is a system of out of 10 somethings from the movie. Understand,
this is the first time we've ever done this one.
Yeah. So
did we go Back to the Future again?
I think so. Out of 10 Freemason lounges, I give this movie...
What a pull.
Yeah, I know, right? It stands out because it's random as hell. But anyway, I mean, not random, but it's, you know, it just is like, oh, they're in a Masonic Lodge. Okay. All right. Out of 10 Masonic Lodges, I give this movie 9.5 Masonic Lodges, 9.5 Masonic Lodges.
Wow. You really
almost
like this.
Perfect.
So... let me ask you this, Bryce.
Yeah.
Out of the top, you know, the 10 nominated films for this year for the Oscars. Uh-huh. I know that the Oscars are not, they have not happened yet. I don't know exactly when this episode will be released, uh-huh, but out of those 10, the ones that you've actually seen, uh-huh, which we'll figure out if you know which ones those are or not.
We'll see.
But do you think this is the best movie of the year?
No.
Which one?
Oppenheimer.
So you gave that a 10.
Takes it.
See, I forgot.
I couldn't remember if you gave
that a 10 or not. This is a 9.5.
Yeah.
So if it wasn't a 10, you might have to go re-edit that.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So listeners, go back and listen to Oppenheimer. If I gave that a 9 or anything less than a 9.5, then this gets a, yeah, you get it. I think I would give Best Picture to Oppenheimer.
All right. So out of, you could have called this one out of 10 Florence-less pubes.
Nice.
Right?
Because because she's not in
there. Yeah, yeah.
Nor are her pubes.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's not the case.
I saw some images from like an edit of Oppenheimer overseas where they don't allow naked ladies in their things, and they've done like the Showgirls. Have you ever seen Showgirls?
Yeah, I've seen Showgirls.
Yeah. Well, have you ever seen it like on E when they like crudely paint?
There's one of her
just like having sex with him in the chair, and she's just wearing a full-on dress.
Yeah. And it looks terrible. Yeah,
it looks really weird.
Yeah.
All right. So, out of... Ooh, wow. I had something, and now I forgot it. Let's see here. Out of 10...
Uh-huh. Well, it's got to be out of 10.
Yeah. Out of 10 oversized teeth implants...
Okay.
Out of 10,
we only need one.
Yeah. I like to do a lot because I never get to do it.
That's true. That's fair. All right. Yeah, go for it. Don't let me cloud your sky.
Out of 10, whiskey lovers.
Okay.
Out of 10. Racist George of the Jungles.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Out of... Oh, that's enough.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one, Adon.
Out of 10 of any of those things,
uh-huh,
I give this a 9.25.
Wow, a little bit less than me. You give everything a 10, so you must really hate this movie then.
I really hated this movie.
Yeah.
You know what it was?
What?
It was the DiCaprio teeth.
Yeah.
It kind of did take me out for a while.
Did it actually?
It got me back. I mean, I got back into it, but it was like, all right, bro.
Yeah. You weren't digging that as much.
I was like, just act.
Sure.
Like, do you need it?
But was that his choice, though?
Oh, I'm sure it was his choice.
You think so?
It was.
You think Scorsese's letting him? Hey, Scorsese signs off on everything.
Everything was his choice. Everything was his choice because Scorsese was like, you're going to play this other character. And he goes, no, I'm not. Rewrite the fucking script. I want to play this other guy.
So he even chose the words he said?
Pretty much.
He chose...
I'm pretty sure.
Did he improv everything?
No, here's the thing.
That's improv.
I'm not pretty sure. I saw it. I actually talked to him, and he goes, yeah, I rewrote all of the words that I said.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I wrote them all. Scorsese said, you can't say those. And he goes, but let me tell you this, Chase. I said what I fucking wanted to say.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But it's not on the bottom of his... It's on the top.
No, it's on the bottom of his mouth. That's exactly what it was.
I will... I will pay you to never do that again.
Well... hopefully they disturbing. Will pay
how am I
not it? To do that.
I
mean, that's the problem. It was the that's bottom so teeth that were messing it up.
I do think
he did a fantastic job.
Purple, but yeah, yellow. No, I like them all.
A 9.25. Okay. I think that it's a story that needed to be told.
Okay.
I think it was told in a very beautiful way. I think it was a fantastic movie. Okay. I really do. I mean, there's no Barbie, but
Right. I mean, we are all entitled to our incorrect opinions.
Yeah.
You are right about that.
But yeah, you know, I'm okay. I don't know. I put it right there with Oppenheimer, to be honest.
Okay, like, yeah. So let me ask you that same question. Would this win Best Picture?
No.
Okay. Holdovers. What would? You would give Holdovers Best Picture.
Yeah. Well, you know, and like I'd almost give it to Saltburn, but Saltburn had some.
Still haven't seen it.
Yeah, you should. You'd really like it. It's okay. Weird, but there's a couple of scenes where it's like, all right, what are we really doing here? But it doesn't ruin the film for me.
Sure.
They're done artistically and in a way that it's like, okay, I get what you're trying to
love
do.
Love that.
But this movie's better without. Like you're just shock value things.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not talking about the dance at the end.
See, again, that's spoilers.
Yeah.
That's too many spoilers.
Well, there's a dance at the end and you'll see it and like you'll be like, oh, that's what he's talking about? And ain't what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
Although you'll be watching the movie and you'll be like, okay. Oh, it's this scene. Oh, wait, no, it's this scene. Oh, wait, no, it's this scene. It's a lot of those scenes.
I'm guessing maybe it has something to do with this.
Got a terrific penis.
No, that's not what it has to do with.
Oh.
Okay.
You might think it does, but it doesn't.
Love that.
But yeah, no. I mean, I really, really liked Saltburn. I really, really liked Oppenheimer. I really, really liked this movie. Did not love Barbie, and I have not seen most of the other ones.
Okay.
I really want to watch the other ones, and for the life of me right now, I can't remember what they're called. But we might figure that out later.
Oh, all right. Shit.
What?
Don't let me forget to... Let me talk to you later after this is off. Don't let me forget to do something very important.
Is that we're gonna run through the house and do a Saltburn dance?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, that's what I thought.
And I don't even know...
I don't know what that word means.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You'll love it.
Okay.
We'll do it together.
Okay, but...
It's coarse.
Wait.
Shut up, Yoda. Let me...
Go back. Wait. Go back and play that one.
There we go.
I don't like sand.
Oh, this one?
It's coarse.
Was that right?
Yeah, the Saltburn dance.
Rough
yeah.
and irritating. And it gets everywhere.
Does that fit? Does that fit really well? Did that fit really perfectly without me knowing it?
It really, in a lot of ways, it would.
Well, what about this one?
Not like here. Here everything is soft. And smooth.
Yeah,
does that work?
It also could. It also all right. could. All right. Yeah, so...
we're not going to do a reboot recast.
No, but we are
going to do... We do need some numbers, I guess.
Numbers.
Let's get some...
musicals.
Let's get some numbers music. Here we go.
Numbers. Numbers. Top of numbers.
Rock out to the numbers. Yeah.
Budget.
Okay.
Do you want to take it like just a stab? What do you think the budget of this movie was?
$6 million.
$200 million.
I'm just kidding.
$200 million estimated. Uh-huh. Estimated. All right. So it opened October 22nd, or the weekend of October 22nd. I believe it opened on October 20th. Of 2023, what do you think its opening weekend number was?
No, you had it right. You know, I mean, I think it made like $36 million.
And it's coming.
He chose poorly.
Okay.
23 million.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah, it still made lower than
that. All right. So, what was the domestic gross?
I don't think it made 200 million, man. I want to say maybe it made like 96 million.
I'm not even going to waste time.
That's what I'm going for.
Yeah.
It didn't even make that much?
You chose poorly. 67. Okay. Now,
that's it?
The gross worldwide. Yeah.
Okay.
The gross worldwide.
Man, I wonder if it even made its money back there. I'm going to say 150. 150 mil, baby.
Ding, ding, ding. Almost with a golden bell.
Whoa.
$156 million
okay.
is what it made.
Okay.
Now, it came out the number one film of that weekend, in its second week, sitting at $132 million.
Barbie.
It pulled in another $33 million.
Barbie.
No, the next biggest film of this year.
Oppenheimer.
No, like actually made money.
It's Oppenheimer made money.
Taylor Swift, the Era Tour.
You are kidding.
Era's
me.
Tour, yeah. Killers of the Flower Moon came in with second. The third is it's a reboot slash requel slash doing the same thing about horror films. It's a horror movie.
Oh, the Exorcist one?
Yeah, Exorcist Believer, which
yeah.
I heard was like totally, totally awful.
Uh-huh.
I watched it. It was all right.
Sure.
I mean, it's not The Exorcist, but like what yeah. it is. But it's definitely not the worst of its prequels. I do love the part where they get like the... We have to get the Catholic Avengers together.
Oh, like, really?
We're going to fight this demon. We got to pull in all of the great...
Is that what they do?
Yeah, it's fucking real weird.
Wow.
Number four is a movie I actually did not see, but it's animated and, in a way, by name only, I'm in it. There's a character in this film named Chase. It's four children. It's animated, and this is by far not the... First thing, I believe it started as like a little kid TV show, and now they've made like little kid movies for it too.
Oh, Puppy Patrol. Paw Patrol. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Paw Patrol, the mighty movie.
Nice.
And then in number five was the 30th anniversary re-release of this famous animated film.
Five-O Goes West. Shit, yeah. Nailed it. Finally, it comes into play. I knew it would.
Nope.
What?
October might help. Animated horror ish, but
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, even though that's more of a Christmas movie.
I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Number six is the 10th in a.
Did you say
horror?
35th anniversary?
30th.
Okay, I was going to say
30th anniversary. Like in there, number six. Just to see if you know that this even existed. I know that we're going to cut it off, but even if you don't know this existed, the 10th in this franchise. Horror.
Fast 10.
Horror.
The Conjuring 10.
Yep. Saw 10. Saw X.
Oh, that's right. Saw X. That came out. That's
then
right.
The
that's
Creator, a then A Haunting in Venice, which is the third in the new Perot.
These were all in the top 10.
These are in the top 10. Number 9 is The Blind, which I don't remember that one. And number 10 is from the, wait.
Well, The Blind is the, it's the prequel to The Blind Side, obviously.
Yeah.
So.
It's a prequel to that.
It's a prequel.
No, then number 10, which might be the 10th in the Conjuring series.
Oh, Annabelle
or
something?
The Nun 2.
Oh, The Nun 2, that's right, The Nun came out.
A spinoff of a spinoff. Hocus Pocus is up in there.
Part of the Conjuring Cinematic Universe.
The Conjuring Cinematic Universe, yes. Oppenheimer's still hanging on.
Okay.
Over there at number 16. That made... You were right. It did make a lot of money. $324
million. Yeah.
Domestic.
Hello.
Domestic.
Yeah.
What do you think you are, Barbie?
In six games.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what we had going on that week. So let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add
We're not
going to
do a reboot recast, are we?
No. No.
But if
not after that one.
Was anyone that we could recast?
Oh, if I was going to cast anybody or recast anything, I would recast the mouthpiece, like the dentures.
Okay, the dentures.
That Leo DiCaprio uses.
Yeah, right. There's only one
There's
obvious
only one
choice
option.
For that. Haley Joel Osment now.
Nom in space.
Cross the street. Thanks for listening to The Movie Gap on the Cross the Streams Media Network.